I'm so thankful that Jesus leads us night and day. He's a good shepherd. And the shepherd goes before his sheep, and his sheep follow. And they don't follow a stranger's voice, because a stranger's voice do they not know. But if you know his voice, if you know him, his voice, then you'll follow that shepherd, the good shepherd. And he won't lead us into a ditch, and he won't lead us into a untoward way, and he won't lead us into a wrong path, but he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That song, it's in our white book, we won't sing it, but or at least not now, but my sheep know my voice, and they follow my call. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to understand and distinguish the voice of our shepherd from the voice of the hireling. Voices of earth unnumbered I hear. And that's so true. And the voices beckon and they call. And some of them we like and we have an affinity towards them or for them. But thank God there's a voice that supersedes them all, sweeter than all. Jesus is now and ever will be sweeter than all the world to me, since I heard his loving call, sweeter than all. And it's such a good thing, as we've heard and have been hearing, to hear his voice and to follow his will. And those that know him, those people that know him, are people that know that voice. And they know his will. And they live lives that have meaning, purpose. Sarah has a goal in life. She expressed it several times during her few-minute talk. She wants souls to be saved. She wants people to know Jesus. And there are those that the Lord is working and saving and bringing into the kingdom of God. And that's exciting. Somebody testified, somebody said tonight, well, Sister Marianne, that we're not just here. Thank God I'm saved. Thank God I'm saved. But I'm not just saved for myself. But now I want others to be saved. I want others too to know about Jesus. I've got a purpose. I've got a meaning. And I don't know what Sister Marianne does, if she works or if she's retired or what she's doing. I have no idea. But whatever she's doing vocationally, she's got a deeper, higher calling, a meaning, a purpose. And God has that. Turn to Jeremiah 29:11 if you have your Bible. God has that for every one of us. We read this verse this morning. And I'd just like to start with this verse tonight. Because if we know the Creator, the one who made us, that person, that one, that God that made us and formed us, and what a miracle, really what a miracle that is. I was reminded of it again yesterday on that video that we saw. The miracle of creation and how God made you and knit you together. What a marvel it is. But he also made you for a particular reason, for a purpose. And that purpose is first of all to know him. I was created to know Jesus. I was created for fellowship with him. That's why I was made in his image and in his likeness, with a soul that I might have fellowship with God. And that's my chief purpose. That's my goal in life. And if I don't find my purpose in him, if I don't find myself in him, then I'm not going to know from him his will and his ways. Does that make any sense? I need to know him in order to know what he wants from me and out of my life. And in Jeremiah 29, I guess we ended this morning, we said it was a bad situation that Jeremiah was writing in and among. It was a bad time in the history of Israel. It was dire straits, not only for Jeremiah, but for the whole nation. And they had been taken into captivity, and it was a bleak outlook. And in the middle of that mess, all of a sudden, there comes a really beautiful word that the Lord speaks through Jeremiah to his people at that 11th verse, I guess it is. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. We talked a little bit about that first part, that he has plans and they're good for us, and his plans are nice to us, and they're what we want or we should want. But he plans, he also wants to give us a hope and a future. You know, you could go a long way on a hope. You really can. If you can have a hope that tomorrow is going to be better than today, you can get through today and hope for tomorrow. If you can have a hope that the days to come are going to be better than the days behind you. And if you know God, you have a hope like that. Because the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more unto that perfect day. And so he wants to do that for us. And it only comes by realization again of our knowledge of him. The Apostle Paul is a good example of this. The Apostle Paul was born, he lived, he grew up, he had a job, he worked hard, he excelled at it. But it really wasn't what he was created or intended to do for God. He was doing his own thing. I don't think it was in the scope and plan of God. I know God used it and turned him around, but he wasn't in the will of God when he was running around killing Christians and persecuting the church. He was doing that because that was his own idea of what he wanted to do, what he thought he should do. He thought he was right. He had a good idea, he thought, and he was schooled in that catechism, and here was a group bringing in another doctrine, and so he was going to fight them tooth and nail, and he did. And it wasn't until he really knew God and got to know, "Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus who you're persecuting. That's who I am. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." And then the next thing out of Paul's mouth, Saul's mouth at the time, "What do you want me to do? What's my purpose? Now I know who you are. Now I know that you're God. I know that you're the Lord. I know that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, the one that I've been persecuting, the one who I was so wrong in what I was doing with my life. But now that I know who you are, now I know who I am. And I know now I should ask of you, what do you want from me? What do you want? What do you want to do with my life?" You get to the place when you recognize that God has a good plan for you, a future for you, a hope for you, a life beyond a mundane existence. Well, what's a mundane existence? I kind of think that just living the rat race, which is what a lot of people do, climbing the corporate ladder, trying to get to the top of the totem pole, be it academically, be it financially, I don't want to have that as my goal in life. I don't want that to be my aim and my purpose. Lord, do you have something more for me, something better for me, something in your will that your divine favor can look upon and smile? Not that I get involved in what everybody else and what the American dream might say I should be doing, but Lord, I want you to tell me, after I have a knowledge of you, what it is that you have for me. What plan do you have? So you should be asking, you know, we should want, well, what's his plan? We should be plan-seeking, plan-heading. Look at the next verse. He tells us, it's clearly delineated. I have a plan for you, I have a hope for you, I have a future for you. You're not here to just drown in Babylon, but I've got something for you in the future. And this is what the Lord says, seek me. Seek me. No, wait a minute. I want to know the plan for my life. What are you talking about? Seeking you. I want to know what, you know, your plan is, the future, the great hope. I want to know where my pie in the sky lies. Well, this is what you do. If you want my plan to be realized and fulfilled, then you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. That's how you find God's plan. That's how the Lord said to Israel to find his plan. I've got a plan, I've got a purpose, I've got a hope, I've got a future. All right, good. What is it? Tell me what it is. What is it? Seek me. Seek me while I may be found. Call upon me while I'm near. That's what I want you to do. I want you to seek me because I've got the map for your life. I've got the plans. And so what you need to do to get your plan is to get to me. And you know, I'm not just talking to young people. There's an old man that I was acquainted with, or I got to be acquainted with. His name was Charlie Flack. I don't know if anybody here has ever heard that name or knows Charlie Flack. But he was in his 70s. You maybe heard of Rose Club. Some of you remember the missionary to Liberia, Rose Club. She was around Ridgewood for a lot of years and all over the place. And her uncle was Charlie Flack. When he was in his 70s, I don't know if anybody's here in their 70s. I know we got him in their 90s and we got him in there. But I don't know if anybody's in their 70s. But listen, if you're in your 70s, when Charlie Flack was in his 70s, the Lord directed him as he sought the Lord, as he lived for the Lord, as he followed the Lord. You know what the Lord did with that guy in his 70s? The Lord said, I want to use you on the mission field. I'm in my 70s. How in the world? What in the world? How could? No. He wasn't. He was a builder. He was a carpenter. He was a caretaker of a camp, actually, at the Assemblies of God camp upstate New York. And in his 70s, Brother Tom, God has a plan. God has a future. Who knows? Who knows? See, don't ever say, no, I'm too old. Don't ever say that. You know, people will tell you you're too old. And they told Brother Charlie that he's too old. Said that he applied to his denomination's organization mission board. And they wrote him back and they looked at his application and they said, you're too old, you can't go. You're born in when? Is there a date here misprint or what? No, you can't be. That's not possible. And he said, no, that's me. That's who I am and that's what I am. But the Lord has laid on my heart. Nobody would send him. Nobody. So he said, okay, Lord, you want me to go? Is that your purpose? Is that your plan? And he looked to the Lord and the Lord said, go. And so he went. He funded himself. He did it all by himself. Nobody's going to help him. Who's going to help a 77-year-old man go to Africa to work as a missionary? You'd be out of your mind. Well, he got to there and he met up with his niece and he preached a little in the churches and he ministered where he could and he filled in where he could and he did what he could. And then by the time he finished in Africa, he built 17 churches. I started with 77. He was 80, who knows what, when he finally decided, okay, it's time to call it quits. He didn't literally build them with brick and mortar himself. He instructed, he told, he helped, he worked alongside, and so on and so on. God has a plan. And just because you're over the hill, and society tells you you're done and finished and too old for any good thing. And maybe they've told you that, I don't know. But just because people tell you that doesn't mean the Lord's finished with you. It doesn't mean the Lord's finished with you. Why, the Lord can use you when you're well into your 80s, 90s. In your old age, you'll be what? Fat and? And you're going to bring forth what in your old age? Fruit. Well, how can you bring forth fruit in your old age if the only thing you're going to do is fossilize in some vacation resort or whatever it might be? No, God has a plan. And don't get old and don't get a guest mentality where I'm just here to sit and stew and whatever, no! Lord, every day there's a plan. Every day, as long as I'm here, there's a purpose. There's something that you want me to do. Friday morning, I was with Brother Gordon and Sister Martha. And Sister Martha must have told Brother Gordon 10 times while I was there, see, Gordon, God has a plan for you, yet that's why you're still alive. You should be dead. Only Aunt Martha could say that and get away with it, I guess. She probably told me that a few times too, but you should be dead by now. And then she looked, you know what? He should be dead. Twice now, should be dead this past 2 years. But you're not dead, Gordon. And he looks and, oh, I'm not. That's right. You're right, Martha. I'm not dead. Why aren't you dead yet? Because God still has work for you to do. Right? Right, Ernie? Right? Yeah? Yeah, that's right, Martha. I wouldn't dare say no to her. I wouldn't. Well, there's nothing to say no to her. Well, anyway, that's another story. But, that's a good idea to get into your mind. The will of God is not just for kids. Oh, these poor kids, they got life ahead of them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know where they're going. They have no clue. They're clueless. Well, maybe they are. But so maybe you are. And maybe we all can be. But God says to you, to us, to all of us, you could know me, and when you do know me, you're not going to get to the end because you're 65 and you can get Social Security, or because you've hit the good old, ripe old, whatever it is, but there's still work for you to do. Surely there's a work that I can do, Lord. Oh, it might not be what I could do when I was 40. It might not be what I could do when I was a kid, but Lord, surely there's something that I can do. By faith, by prayer, by encouragement, by whatever, Lord. And I want to build where you want me to build. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to go. And the Lord says, I got a plan for you. It's a plan for your future. I'm 88. You can think I got a future? Well, you got tomorrow, I guess. And if you got tomorrow, so shall your strength be. And so take the next day too. And every single day, invest your life in the kingdom of God for eternal values. And Jesus has that. That's a good thing. I'm glad. I'm glad that where I come from, at least, that the people that I've worked around and seen all my life, they don't ever retire. They don't ever retire. Oh, yeah, they laid down their ministries in certain venues and senses, and they stopped this particular thing because of others, but they never stop knowing Him and doing God's will. All the days of your life, His goodness and mercy will follow you every single day of your life. And so God has a plan, He says through Jeremiah. And I want you to find that plan, and I want you to know that plan. And if you know me, I'll give you that plan. I'll make it clear to you. I was talking to Sarah this afternoon, and this little poem that I wish I could remember the rest of it, but I can only remember the first stanza. If you know the rest of it, blurt it out. He does not lead me year by year or even day by day, but step by step my path unfolds. My Lord directs my way. I don't know the rest of it, but I know that much. And that much has helped me. He may not lead me or you or any of us year by year. He may not lead us even day by day, but step by step. And so you got to ask yourself, right now, am I doing God's will? Not start tomorrow or when I go to school. Right now, am I doing God's will? Am I in the will of God now? Is His divine will sweet to me? Have I done today what He wanted me to do? Oh, I didn't know He wanted me to do anything. That's the problem. Well, I only did what I wanted to do. I wanted to do this, I wanted to do that. I did what I wanted to do, so I'm happy. You may have missed God's will. What does He want you to do? First thing out of Saul's mouth when he got saved was, what do you want me to do? It's not now, what should I do? Oh, let's see, now I'm saved. Let's see, oh, I'd like to evangelize. Oh, no, I don't want to evangelize. I want to build tents all my life. No, I don't want to build tents all my life. What do I want to do? Let's see what I want. It's not what I want to do. Or where I wish to go. Or who am I that I should choose my way? Lord, what do you want me to do? I was in Disneyland once. Am I allowed to say that? No. A few times. Well, I was in Disneyland once. I was in the other place about several other times. But in California, they have Disneyland. And I don't know much about what I'm going to say. And so, and don't have to fill in the blanks. You can tell me tomorrow. That's soon enough. But there was one exhibit that, you know, I like different things than my kids like sometimes when I go to these places. And you know, I go to Disney World and I want to go to the Hall of Presidents because I want to see how they make Abe Lincoln come to life. And I can remember one of my kids, Dad, this is boring. So you can imagine, well, no, you can't. And it's not boring, it's exciting. Look at that, there's John Quincy Adams right in front of you. Who? All right, so we got out of there quick, and then the next place you want to go, or I want to go, is, and they want to, okay. Well, in Disneyland, okay, where do you want to go? What do you want to go? Well, they had this Indiana Jones exhibit. Well, not an exhibit, it was a live presentation, a live big thing. And this big, big coliseum, I don't know what it was, a big stadium. And so we got there a lot ahead of time, and we sat there, and I don't know Indiana Jones from Roy Rogers. I know they both wear cowboy hats or funny hats. Doesn't he have a funny hat with a wide brim or something? I'm watching the prelude to the thing, and they've got like explosions going on all over, and people blasting up in the air. It's pretty good. I'm liking Indiana Jones, and then I'm finding out that that's what he does. My kid said to me, "Dad, he's like MacGyver. I know MacGyver. And MacGyver was a guy that could really, he was neat. I mean, he'd get himself into a tight situation, then he'd reach into his shoe and take his heel off, and in there he had some kind of explosives, and he would take the match out from his belt buckle, and he'd light that thing, and he'd blast himself from a tin can up through the roof and get out of a tight." It was really pretty nifty. That guy, he had some good ingenuity. A guy learned some stuff from good old MacGyver, and they said, "Indiana." I said, "Really? Yeah, he gets out of anything. He's good like that." I said, "Okay, this is going to be good." So Indiana, and they went through this whole story they were telling of this guy. And to make the long story short, and again, here's where I go off on the details. I may not have it all right. But he was looking for something. Okay? He was looking for something. He was looking for some I don't know what it was. But he wanted to find this thing, but the map was stolen. The map was stolen. Is this making sense to anybody? You know this? The map was stolen, and so he didn't know, and he was really, he had to find the guys that stole the map. And so you can imagine, you know, they're going through all their stunts and acrobatics, and it's getting, chasing him down, and a car comes flying out and doing wheelies and flips, and it was pretty good. And he's looking to get the bad guys because he wants to get the map so he can find this thing that he's looking for, this treasure. I don't know what it was. But he's trying to find it, so he's doing what he can to get these in. He can't catch them. I mean, he almost gets them, he can. He just can't figure them out, he can't find them, he can't get them, and if he doesn't get them, he doesn't get the map. So he goes to his dad, Dr. Jones, and he says, "Dad, you know, they got the map," and he's moaning and groaning and complaining, "I don't know what to do, I don't know where to go, I don't know how to get this treasure, I'm looking for the treasure, I don't know where it is, but they got the map, I got to get them, they're the bad guys." And the dad is to "Slow down, boy, slow down. Take it easy. What's the matter? You're all bent." "No, I can't. I got to get this." And he's going on. And dad is trying to say, "Take it easy. Just take it easy." And finally, the kid stops. And the dad says to him, "Son," called him Indy, I think, "I wrote the map." And the guy looks at his father. "You wrote the map?" "Yeah. You don't need to go try to find the bad guys and find the map and get the map and look under every rock and look behind every door. I got the map. You're my son. And I wrote the map that they stole." You know, when I thought of that, I thought of we have one over us. And we try to find the map. We try to go looking here and beyond that rock, and we're looking at the curriculum, and we're looking at how much it's going to cost us, and we're looking at the price that we're going to have to pay. And now, oh, China, talk about who wrote the map and stole it. They could keep it. But, they, you know, we're going here and there. As one person said, I'd like to go into the work of the Lord, but I'm afraid if I go into the work of the Lord, I might have to go into the faith home. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. You better not do the will of God. You may have to go into the faith home. And please, you won't want to do that. Not on your life. Hey, come on. If God's will is to put you in the fiery furnace, that's the best place for you to be, because the Son of God will be walking with you there. Where He may lead me, I will go. And He has the map. And so that's why we need to seek Him. Hey, Father, Abba, Father. We sang in the song tonight. And Father, Abba, Father, crying with confidence, I now draw nigh. And I say, "Dear Father, dear Daddy." Well, what are you praying for, dear Daddy? "Dear Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to know you better." Why? Because there's an inner strength when I know you. There's fruitfulness when I know you. There's a purpose to my life when I know you. You've got the map, Father. Show me your ways. Lead me, David prays in Psalm 25. Lead me in your path and teach me. Teach me, because you're the God of my salvation. And on you I wait all day long. And then, Lord, I do what you tell me to do, because you know where the treasure is. You know where that thing that I'm looking for is. You know where my life should go and how it should be ordered. And I desire that my life shall be ordered by Thee. Yes. That my will be in perfect accord with Thine own sovereign will. Thy desires to fulfill, my wonderful, wonderful Lord. Is it any wonder why Jeremiah says, or the Lord says, hey, seek me. Seek me while I may be found. Call upon me. You want to know the plan and the future and the hope? It's me that you need. I wrote the map. I know my plans for your life. And what you need to do now is not go map hunting or plan hunting or husband hunting or wife hunting or job. Seek me. And when you seek me, you'll find me if you seek for me with all your heart. And when you find me, you'll find my purpose in your life, because it's in knowing me that then I can tell you my purpose over your way. Oh, thank God. That uncomplicates things. I know how it happened, but I really can't explain with what ease it took place. What I'm going to say is I don't know how I ever got into the full-time Christian service. I never in my life had aspirations to be a preacher or a minister. I shied away from that. I can remember more than once, Brother Gardner. Boy, talk about Sister Martha. Crank it up a little bit and you got Brother Gordon. And he got a hold of me more than once. We used to, I guess it was Brother Gordon's fault or whatever, we used to wear suits, jackets to church all the time. And on Friday nights too, that was the big dress-up night too, not only Sundays. And I remember him one Friday night after a meeting, and I was leaving, and he got me by the two lapels of my jacket. Have you ever thought about the ministry? And I said, yeah, I thought about it. Not much, but I thought about it. And more than one, have you ever thought? He stretched out my jacket just like I just messed up my shirt. But no, I never really did. I had my own purpose and plan, and it was all good. I wanted to work for the Lord. I wanted to teach Sunday school class. I wanted to sing in the choir. I wanted to play my trumpet in the front row. And I wanted to listen to the preachers preach. That's what I wanted to do. And every once in a while, if it was really pressed into service, I'd give a testimony. And then when I graduated from school, I had an idea that what I would want to do is serve the Lord somehow or other, some way with sports. I'd want to play basketball with Fellowship of Christian Athletes or AAU organization and travel around and at half times of basketball games give your testimony. Wouldn't that be great? Who would want to hear my testimony? I never did drugs. I never drank alcohol. What am I going to say? I grew up in a Christian family, and I'm thankful. Hey, I went to Pilgrim. What am I going to say? So I figured, well, at least I could play with the rest of the guys and let the drug addicts tell how the Lord delivered them from their sin, and I could just be part of the team. And I really wanted to do that. And then when I got a little older, I realized that I'm not good enough to even do that. But I thought, Lord, what I can do is I got these kids, this Sunday school group or these boys in church, and I can take them out to the park and play ball with them, because I personally still believe that you can minister as effectively on a basketball court as you can in a church or in a Sunday school class. And maybe more so if they have respect for you, because you could spin a basketball on one finger. Oh, look what he can do. Yeah. And now you're going to listen to me. Jesus loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And they'll listen to you after you get their attention somehow or other. I thought, that's good enough. That's all that I care to do. And then I want to teach gym. See, I had it all purposed out. And I want to teach gym in school, because then summers are off and you can counsel at Pilgrim Camp. That's great. And you got your summers free. And in the gym at school, maybe you take two basketballs, throw them over your shoulder from the office and say, go ahead, guys, have fun. And I thought, that's an easy way to make a living, and teach driver education. I had it all planned out, and I faxed my information up to heaven more than once. Said, Lord, this is what I would have me to do. Would you please bless it? Would you please sign off on it? I don't see any sin on that list, Lord. It's all goodly, well-intended, good motivation. Lord, you know, what could you gripe about that? And well, it's not why I made you. Maybe that's not why you made me.
I don't care what you made me. I'm a human being. That's why I'm here. I'm here to serve you, and this is the way I'm going to serve you. Hey, wait a minute. Who in the world gave you the prerogative and permission to tell me how you're going to serve me? I thought I was God, and now you're telling me? But Lord, you should be happy that I wanted to serve you. You know, you should be kind of, the angels should have a party and do cartwheels. I gave my testimony, I did my thing. You know, you should be happy about that, Lord. You know, the Lord doesn't get off on those kinds of things because He has a plan. And He has a purpose. And when He realizes His divine will, and we only find that as we seek Him, and He's not playing hide and go seek. I mean, not the way that some people played it on me when I would go hide. I'd play that with my, I wouldn't tell you, my sister. Bang, zoom. Want to play hide and seek? Yeah, sure, I'll play hide and seek. You go hide. Okay, I was a little kid. I go hide. She never saw it. I'm sitting in the closet in the dark for 20 minutes and nobody's coming. How many times can you do this before? I learned quick. I was pretty bright. After the 27th time, I said, I'm coming out of this closet. She's not looking for me. But my grandson, I play hide and seek with Jesse. Grandkids are great. You give them back at the end of the day. And there's Jesse, two and a half years old. Right? I could see you're nodding. Yeah, you know what that's all about. And I had my little, he's over, and he hides in the same place. Jesse, you want to play hide and seek with Papa? Yeah. So he runs. I know where he's going already. And he goes on the couch, and he sits on the couch, and he puts the pillow like this. And then I have to go find him. And of course, you know, you play around a little bit. Where's Jesse? Where is he? And then all of a sudden you hear a giggle from behind the pillow because your grandpa can't find you, how wacky he is. And then finally, oh, there you are, Jesse. You know, you're going to seek me and you're going to find me when you seek for me with all your heart. But I'm not really hiding on you that, you know, you're really not going to be able to find me. I want to be found. I want to be found. But I also want to be sought. You understand that? He wants it, and you could sit here and say, well, I want him to tell me his will for my life. I'm in a strait betwixt two, and I don't know whether I should go to USC or UCLA. Paul's strait was a little different than that. He was wanting to know whether he should go to heaven or earth. But I don't know which way to go. I got this crossroad kind of thing going on, And so, Lord, you're going to have to tell me what you want me to do. And the Lord says, no, wait a minute. You got it wrong. Okay, wrong. What you need to do is you need to seek me. You need to seek to know me. You need to say, I want to just know you, Lord. And forget about the specific issues and can't just say, I want to know you, Lord. And when you seek me, then you're going to find me. Me you're going to find. Not necessarily the plan or the person. You're going to find me. But when you find me, I got the map, you understand. I know the plans that I have for you. I've got a wonderful plan for your life to give you a future and a hope. And so it's kind of like the byproduct of seeking and finding and knowing why we find His divine will and His divine plan. And I don't know, as I say, how I got behind a pulpit. I really don't. I don't know how I got from what I wanted to do and where I wanted to be to where I am now. But I look back at my life and God did it. That's how. And how did He do that? Well, it certainly wasn't because I desired this. I didn't want this hardly at all, but I just wanted Him. I did want Him. I did want to know Jesus. I did want to seek Jesus. I did want to find Him. And one day, after a Friday night meeting, Uncle Edwin said to me, how about moving into the faith home? That place? Okay. And then there it went. How did I get to Ozone Park? I don't know how I got there. I mean, that was like the last place on my list. I had my plans then too. I want to stay in Ridgewood and I want to work with this and I want to stay here and I'll be there all my life. And the next thing I knew, I'm shipped out. But God opened the door. God, Jesus led me all the way, step by step. I can go on, and it's getting late, and I don't want to go on anymore, especially with the personal stuff. But I just want you to know that it works. It's not just some pages of the Bible and it's never been put to the test, but it works. Even for a young kid that grew up in the fellowship and went through pilgrim camp, I don't know how I got married to my wife. She pressed me in. No, not at all. But it just came about. I don't know really. I mean, it just was right. It just sort of worked its way. I didn't have to go hunting, and she didn't have to go, got him, or anything. And you know, we play too much of those games. I think we do. Maybe you really need to, but I don't think anybody really needs to. What you need to do is find him. Is he interested in that? You better believe he's interested in that. You better believe he's interested in every single part of your life. You say, well, if he's interested in every single part of my life, then you know, why this or why that or why the other thing? You know, I look at the story of Joseph in the Bible, and I'd like to get my hands on those brothers of Joseph. I'd like to give Potiphar's wife a piece of my mind too, sweetie pie. I'd like to have a little talk with some of those other people that did Joseph. But you never find in the Bible that Joseph feels that way. I think Joseph recognized every step of the way that he was in God's will. How do I know that? Because when you know him and you then are fulfilling his purpose in your life, the next thing from Genesis 1 that we talked about this morning is then his blessing. There's a blessing on your life. And every step of the way through with Joseph, at least, you find, and God was with him. And God was with him. And there the baker and the butler forgot all about him there in jail, and he sat there and rotted for 2 years. Oh, but the Lord was with him and prospered him. And then Mrs. Sweetie Pie snitched and told a lie and got him thrown into the jail. But the Lord was with him. And his brothers threw him into the pit and wanted him dead. But the Lord was with him. And you know, when the Lord is with you, it doesn't matter what your brothers or Sweetie Pie or anybody else is doing. It doesn't matter how hard it might seem to be on the outside, because his divine will is sweet to me. Hallowed by bloodstained Calvary. Now don't get scared. I don't think the Lord's going to lead you the way Joseph. But you might be led into a hard time, and it might be a difficult situation. But if it's in the will of God, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. God will open the door and close doors. And you'll look behind you once it's all over with you, and you'll say, oh boy, wasn't that neat? Wasn't that exciting? Well, life is worth the living. There is a purpose in this thing. And it's to glorify him. I want to close by reading Psalm 129, a few verses that were actually read yesterday, and I was reminded of them yesterday when we were reading that, watching that DVD thing on Louis Giglio and talking about creation. He read these verses, and they're appropriate, and I'd like to leave them with you. Psalm 139 and verse 13. This is what the Lord says. Or David saying this. And it's not just David. It's you too. It says, For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. You notice the woving and the knitting and one of the points that was mentioned yesterday is, how did that man know, David, in writing, that woven and knit, and that's exactly what we are in our cells, and the DNA is a double helix strand, and it's woven and knit, and that's the words that were used in the Bible, and how did David didn't know that, but the Lord says, and David's speaking, and he's saying, hey, you know, I was woven together there in my mother's womb. I was knit together right there in my mother's womb. And he goes on and he says, all your days, verse 16, your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Think about that. Before Crystal Henricus was ever born, God was working there, knitting her, fashioning and forming her, and all the days
of Crystal Henriquez are ordained by God before she was even born. Amazing, Crystal. That every single day of your life, every one of your days, God has ordained and He has a plan for you. And His plan was ever before you were ever purposing anything yourself. He had a purpose and He had a plan. And that's with every single one of us. Dear Lord, I want to know Your plan. You got the map. The enemy steals it. He runs off with it. And I don't certainly know what I'm doing with my life. I'm the last clueless person around to understand that. But Lord, You know. And so how safe it would be and how smart we would all be if we were to just give ourselves over to what Jeremiah 29 says, Lord, here you are, Lord, I want to seek You. I want to seek You with all my heart. And I'm going to do what You want me to do today. Today You want me to rejoice in You? Okay. Today You want me to present my body as a living sacrifice? Okay, that's what I'm going to do. Today, Lord, should I give a testimony today? Should I pray today? What do You want from me, Lord? Not what I want, what do You want? You got an ordained purpose for every single day of my life, that not one of them is wasted, but every one of them is purposeful and fulfilled in You. Just one more verse from that Jeremiah 29. It's the 14th verse. I'm not even going to look it up. But there he says, the Lord restored. That messy situation, the Lord says, I can restore that. I can bring you people back from where you are, and I can bring you back into your own nation. I can do that kind of a job. I can do that because I'm mighty. I'm the sovereign Lord. I asked David if he'd look up Billy Taylor for me before the meeting. He Googled it. Because I had once heard this, and I don't know if anybody knows Billy Taylor. I heard a preacher say once, God can do a Billy Taylor on you. I know what he's talking about. Who's a Billy Taylor? God's going to do a Billy Taylor on you. Because I don't know if I want God to do a Billy Taylor on me, because I don't know what Billy Taylor. And then I found out what that means. And I asked David if he'd look it up to see if it were really so. And yeah, it was. It's right there. Billy Taylor's known for taking junk. Cars especially. He'll take wrecks. Junk cars. That nobody wants, that you'll donate for $100. And he'll go to work on them. And he won't put a lot into it, but he'll just do it in his own nifty way. And he'll take that wreck and he'll change it into a $20,000 automobile that somebody will buy as an antique or whatever it might be. That's what Billy Taylor can do. He can restore. Maybe you're 16 and you've lived 15 of your years of your life as you want to. Maybe you're 40 and you lived 39 of your lives, or maybe all 40 so far. I don't know. But what he can do, is he says to Israel, is I can take that mess situation and I can still make it into a praise and a glory and an honor to my name. Lord, we thank You tonight.
Yes.
That You're able, Your power can make us what we ought to be. And Lord Jesus, You know every one of us, young and old here. And Lord, every day of our lives, they're ordained by You. There's a purpose, Lord, for my being here at camp today. And tomorrow, if You so tarry and I so live, Lord, I want every day of my life to have meaning. I don't want to go for a Sunday drive. No place to go, nothing to do. Don't know why I'm here. Don't know where I'm going. But Lord, I want You to fulfill my life with Your plans. And Lord, I don't know what they are. I don't know what You want me to do. I got ideas, but Lord, I don't really know. And I don't think any of us really do until we know You. Until we seek You. And then we'll find You. As we seek for You with all of our hearts. So give us all a greater hunger and a greater desire to know You. And Lord, as we find You, all the other pieces of our life will fall into place. And where You lead us, we will follow. We'll go with You all the way. In Jesus' name we pray, help us. Amen.